We are joined in the studio by the... Put the headphones back on, mate. It's not time for another ad break. You've been here for a long time. We appreciate your patience, Chris Tremaine. The Shield player of 2017-2018. That gong was bestowed upon you about... We found out about 2 hours ago. Thanks for joining us on the show. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, Andy. Love being here.
When did you know?
Well, 2 hours ago, so... I guess 14 hours ago.
Okay.
Not much longer, no.
So it was a tightly run thing. I mean, there are a lot of players in the mix this year, and you've got the nod over a couple of blokes who have played, you know, some serious cricket. Fantastic award to be handed your way.
Yeah, recognition is always nice. However, it is just an award that it is, isn't it? I mean, there's been a lot of players this year who have done some incredible things and done them week in, week out. We had our little battles at the MCG trying to stand up and win some games for Victoria that sort of didn't go either way. They all played out as draws, which sort of left us as no real standout in those games. But we saw, you know, Nick Winter at the end of this season with the Dukes ball, game after game, taking five for five. So I mean that's incredible, and he was right on my tail there.
So there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about: the difference between the balls and whether you find one more conducive to what you do than the other. But you talk about the G, and we talked about the wicket before Christmas, about just how difficult it was to get a result. Was it a difficult deck to bowl on?
Yeah, it was. And it was even a difficult wicket to bat on. It was hard to score freely, being that, you know, you can deal with a flat wicket when there's a bit of pace or when there's a bit of bounce. But a flat wicket when it wasn't bouncing very much, there wasn't a great deal of pace in there, meant that you just sort of blocked everything up, bowled really straight and straight fields. And it was just a war of attrition, really, between the two teams and see who was going to be the first one to crumble. And, you know, batsmen these days are so good at staying focused. And for a long period of time, it was... you know, it was really hard to one, bowl teams out, but stem the run flow and I guess just make for a good game of cricket.
Oh, of course, that was the problem. The one we all saw was the Test match, but anybody who was following the fortunes of the Vics at the G got, just by looking at the way the games are playing out, the runs being scored and the wickets falling, it just seemed like stagnant cricket so often.
Yeah, and you don't like that. I mean, we had maybe half an hour of the first day with the ball, the new ball trying to take a few wickets, and we'd get maybe two or three wickets in the first half hour. We'd have teams three for not many, and then it would flatten out. And I guess the most heartbreaking thing is when you've got a new hard ball and you're feeling good, you're fresh, it's day one, and you've only got a slip and a gully, you know, and everyone else is in front of the wicket. That was really demoralising. You nearly had to hand your fast bowling United card back in. So it was demoralising. But that was just the cricket we had to play to try and force a result, which didn't happen.
Have you got a sense for what it's going to be like at the Junction?
A little bit.
It's new, yeah. Isn't it? You know,
there was a worry there. I think it was the first game we had there. I think the powers to be didn't want it to be a bomb site. They wanted it to be a pretty good wicket, and we did see it was flat, but it just had enough there to offer a result, really. And there was a bit of spin. It was tacky, you know, the first couple of days, and we got some slow tacky spin, and then at the end of the game it dried out, and Farwad got his got his leggies going. So you know, we even had the discussion about the G's, that the wicket was so good for too long. It was too good for too long. We almost rather it start to break up and go underground, offer some spin or just something that would give us a chance to bowl a team out twice.
Is it obvious that you're at your best when you're bowling fast outswing? Is that when you've got the ball just working away from the right hander a bit at pace, is that when you clearly feel that you're at your most dangerous?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting the ball to move away from the batsman at any moment, left or right hander, is a great way to be. But you know, sometimes that's taken out of your hands. Sometimes the ball doesn't move. Sometimes it doesn't swing and doesn't move the way you want it to. And even the reverse. I mean, you still want to reverse it into the stumps rather than go away. And you might find that a batsman might have a really big pad, and you're aiming for it. You don't really want it to go away from the bat. So. Being able to sort of change your little game plans and change things like positions on the crease and you know, simple things like turn the ball around and just try and get it to go in it's a hard one, but you know, you've got 10 people on the field there working with you to try and get it to happen.
So do you feel that the Kookaburra or the Jukes is easier on a consistent basis? Do you find there's a real tangible obvious difference for you between either of the balls?
There is. I think it's got more to do with the wickets, actually. So
right,
the Jukes ball will swing, and it'll swing in most conditions. However, we still saw on a flat wicket at the G that you know, there was still a draw. And we still see batsmen in that same game. One scored 190, the other one scored 170. So blokes can get in against this Jukes ball and score big runs just as well as bowlers can take wickets. But, I mean, you know, it does sort of even the playing field a little bit, but I think when there's that little bit more grass on the wicket, you'll just find a little bit more from the Jukes than you will the Kookaburra. However, you know, you get a green top is a green top. You could use a tennis ball and it'll seam around. So
talking to Chris Tremaine, the Shield player of 2017-18, 51 wickets, 10 matches at 21.07. How many day night, have you played many day night for? Four-day matches? How many have you played?
Yeah, maybe just a handful, maybe four or five. We had a couple down in Hobart, and it was about 3 degrees, so I don't have very good memories of them, but a couple in Adelaide, and I think one or two at the MCG.
So there's this perception, you know, that the game comes alive, particularly for, you know, the faster blokes who can swing it at night time. Is that your experience? Have you found that the things just start going a little bit Irish and a bit silly at that time of the night?
Yeah, so we actually, I don't think we've had just a normal game of cricket with a pink ball game. Some days it's spun really big. Then you wake up the next morning and go, and it won't turn, or it won't swing, or it won't seam. You get to twilight when it's a little bit hard to see, and blokes are just doing some funny things because it's in the back of their mind. I've seen the ball swing. I've seen it not swing. I've even seen it reverse and not reverse. So, I mean, and I saw it reverse at the MCG, which hasn't happened for 5 years. So, I mean, you know, I love the comment Cameron White made of cricketers, that if you put one in a brown tree, they'll turn brown. So, you know, whatever you put in front of us, we sort of adapt to it anyway and you know, just make it work.
I'm interested to hear you say that about you see blokes who think it's going to be doing something, even when it's maybe not. Do you, as a bowler, do you get a sense from the bloke down the other end when he's uncertain and he's looking for something and feeling for something that you're going, oh, well, I'm just bowling straight at the moment. I'm not sure why that bloke's sort of as uncertain about life as he is. Do you get a sense when they're second-guessing themselves a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, had nearly 25 wickets before Christmas, and I don't think many of them moved off the straight. So, I mean, sometimes I don't know how they nick them. I don't know how they miss them. They just miss straight ones. So, yeah, there's been plenty of moments where, you know, you run in and just go, just keep banging away, and then something strange happens. Yeah. And very, very, you know, very few times do I actually run in going, I'm going to get this one to seam in, swing away, sort of, Jaffa.
Yeah,
you know, it never
yeah.
happens that way. It just, you know, repetitive action and keep trying to do the same thing, and something naturally will change, and you know, it surprises me. It's going to surprise the bloke I'm bowling to. So
have you bowled to that end? Have you bowled specific and particularly better in your way of thinking this year than you have in the previous couple of years?
Yeah, so that sort of comment there was, you know, the last 3 years have been a little bit like that. This year I just had a little bit more control over the things I wanted to do. So when I was bowling to left-handers, I didn't really bowl that well to them the last few years. I started to play around with the seam position of the Jukes ball especially, and worked out exactly how it moved, how it swung, how it seamed, and positions on the crease I needed to be on over and around the wicket. You know, and I actually just worked out that these things happen more often than not when I do this.
Okay.
So when I do this, it does that, and sometimes it doesn't. So it was just it's a matter of percentages and play the numbers, and you know, it has worked this year. It may not work next year.
And was that something you worked out yourself, or was it in consultation with some of the coaches and some of, you know, obviously the bowling coaches at Victoria?
Yeah, it's a funny one. We took a lot of wickets. We bowled a lot of teams out after Christmas, but we still came off after bowling innings, and head coach Andrew McDonald and the bowling coach Mickey Lewis, they had us by the scruff of the neck most of the time, saying you can't bowl a hoop down a hill sort of thing. So and we felt that way as well. we felt like we didn't bowl as well as we could, and there was a few things that we had to tinker with, especially run-ups when the ball was swinging. It was swinging from wide of the stumps. We needed to come a little bit wider and angle into the stumps a little bit more. And it's we're talking 6 inches at top of a 25-metre run. I mean, it's so minuscule in the scheme of things, but it changes a millimetre of your front arm to close you off a little bit more, and that changes your wrist, which changes the way you let the ball go, and all of a sudden you're hitting the top of the stumps rather than a foot outside it. And it's... it all is very minuscule, but it does work.
Are they easy alterations to make on the fly?
They can be, yeah. I mean, you are setting your way, and you've been doing it for 10 years. You're setting the way you want to bowl, and I guess you do train for it. We do get thrown the Duke's ball a bit at training, and when it swings around, they always say it, and it's sort of a frustrating thing when the coaches come up to you and go, mate, just do what you did at training the other day, and you don't quite understand it. It might be that the nets are a bit skew-whiff and you're running in on a different angle, and it's frustrating for them just as it is for us, because they know what we can do and we know what we can do, and sometimes you just don't repeat it that well.
Providing they never forget how hard it is to play. That's the one thing you want from a coach, isn't it? Hey, it's hard, mate. I'm trying my hardest.
I'll tell you what. I think these guys have, so.
How's the move been for you generally? I mean, this has obviously been a huge year. Unlucky not to... well, not unlucky. You made the run at it, but you hadn't got enough points on the board leading into the second half of the season to be comfortable to press for the Shield final. I know you'd rather be playing in it than not. But from a personal perspective, the move from New South Wales, Dubbo, to Melbourne, now 3 years, I think, in the making
Yeah, 3 or 4, yeah.
How's it going?
Well, the move's been great. It's been positive at most turns. When I sort of was in Sydney and that dried up, it was disappointing to have to move. It was a necessary move, and I did it. I had the support of my girlfriend, now wife, that allowed me to do that and do it with ease. I could have sort of packed up and gone anywhere. It was her life that was getting sort of uprooted, so it was really helpful that she committed to that. When I first got down here, I realised that I was sort of vying for a position at the table with the likes of James Pattinson, and I went, if I want to play cricket, I've got to get as good or as better than James Pattinson, and I aimed for the top of the tree, and I hit a branch halfway up, but it was better than aiming for the branch and hitting a rock at the base. So I was fighting for a spot with some really good players, and I got better and better just doing that, because sort of trained and played like I didn't know where my next meal was coming from.
Which is a nice thing to have sometimes, to be a bit hungry and a bit desperate, as opposed to, well, not desperate might be too strong a word, but then as opposed to being comfortable, which is not necessarily a great place to be in the world of professional sport, I gather.
Yeah, well, you actually want to be uncomfortable. You want to find out what you're good at and what you're not good at. But I think that little experience there is what the entirety of Australian cricket fast bowlers are feeling at the moment, because if they want to play cricket for Australia, they need to get better than arguably the three best fast bowlers in the world. Yeah. If you want a seat at that table, then you've got to get really good. So, yeah. And that's a feeling I think that will really enhance cricket all through Australia.
Well, mate, you've had a really good year. Jimmy Pattinson's left the Renegades too. You're not moving anywhere that we need to know about
in
the Big Bash.
You're sticking around for a little while. Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah, they've taken care of me.
Well played this year. Disappointing the team couldn't go at least one step beyond and get into that final, but it wasn't through a lack of effort on your behalf. You're only around the corner. Don't be a stranger, mate. Pop in from time to time and have a chat. I'm
more than happy to. Love coming in here.
Chris Tremaine joining us on the show. Shield player of 2017-18, 51 wickets in 10 matches at an average of 21.07. Just quickly, happy taking 51 wickets in a year or making 100 in a first-class game like you did last year?
Definitely 100.
100 every day,
It's got to be 100.
That was unbelievable.